We are so excited to be joined by Erin Andrews today on Athletes Doing Good. It's been a crazy stretch over the last 5 months. How have you and your family been handling this quarantine period? Have you been dealing with uncertainty, anxiety, or has it been pretty relaxing for you?
Well, I mean, we joke. The good news is my marriage survived, right? I mean, this is the longest I have ever spent with my husband in my relationship, even dating. So I didn't burn the house down with cooking, although I did spill pretty much an entire thing of cornstarch on our wooden floors in the beginning of quarantine. And side note on that, why that's even worse. My husband is like Monica Geller / Courtney Cox from Friends. He is major OCD about cleanliness. And he didn't speak to me for about 3 hours after that. I mean, when I tell you he was on his hands and knees with a toothpick trying to get the cornstarch out of the crevices of the wooden floors, I thought that would be it for us in quarantine. We made it. I think the positive news, my relationship with my husband, you know, got better. It's more time than we've ever had to spend together. Yeah, my cooking did not improve.
What so were you there's cooking that. With cornstarch?
You know what? Well, I was trying to do a Martha Stewart chicken stir fry with broccoli. And it honestly, you only need like half a teaspoon. And the freaking lid got stuck. And so my hands were wet and boom goes the dynamite. The whole thing exploded all over our kitchen floor. I think that ended up being the photo that he took of me. I will say I did have my middle finger up because I knew how hard it was going to be to clean it. And he used that picture for my birthday cake later on in the month. So that was super
that is
exciting.
Spectacular.
Yeah. So we survived that, but it's been hard. I mean, I said to you guys before we started recording, my dad had a major medical ordeal before the world shut down with the global pandemic. And, you know, I'm anyone who knows me knows I'm very close with my family. And that's, you know, I'll get a little teary. That's hard because I don't know when I'm going to see my parents again. So, you know, to deal with something like that and then not know when you get to at least hug your parents is really, really hard. But thankfully, they're okay. And thankfully, they've been really, really good about, you know, quarantining and stuff like that. I feel so bad. They're so bored. They've watched every single like Netflix show that we've been talking to them about over the past couple years. And now they're on Game of Thrones and they're crushing the seasons and they went through Homeland and they went through Handmaids and all that. So they're super cute doing that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I hate to like equate this to female hormones, but I feel like this whole thing has been such a roller coaster. Now everybody, men who aren't females, knows what it's like to be a female. It's such an up and down experience with emotions has been wacko.
It has, but there's something to be said about being able to see your loved ones and physically mm-hmm. see them and hug them. It just, you know, so.
Yeah. And my parents are in Tampa. So, you know, if we're able and God willing and fingers crossed have an NFL season, you know, I'm going to be in Tampa quite a bit because you may have heard they got a new quarterback. And, you know, my dad's like, I can't wait to see you. And, you know, here I am being a crybaby again. The thought of just being in the driveway, seeing my parents, I mean, that is just going to wreck me, but at least I'll be able to do that. So
yes.
I'm trying to stay positive about it on this roller coaster. I think we're all trying to do the best we can.
Erin, you are inarguably one of the biggest phenomenons in our industry. Looking back now, how did that meteoric rise and the insane popularity that you had very early on shape your life and career?
You know, I think it happened because that's when the blog started up and that's when social media started up and all that. I was kind of like the baby when that was all happening. At first it was really confusing because I just thought, why is it funny to look at me eat a Cuban sandwich on the sidelines and a picture of it? And who really cares about what I'm wearing and things like that? And then, the good news for me is at that time I was with ESPN, I was working so much that I was like doing 3 games a week, 2 football games and college game day a week, 3 college basketball games. Stuff was going on so much that I didn't really have time to take notice of it. But yeah, I mean, there were obviously times that I would say to my parents, why is this happening? But look, I mean, everything happens for a reason. Some things I'm very confused why they happened in my career. Obviously, you know, that had to happen with me being stalked and everything happening with that publicly. It's very unfortunate I had to go through that. But I'm grateful for the things that I went through. I feel like it's, you know, given me a real chip on my shoulder. It's made me want to work harder. I'm 42 years old and I, you know, I'm having nights where I'm not sleeping now because I'm trying to think, how am I going to be valuable for Troy Aikman and Joe Buck during a game this year when I may not have the same access that I've had in years past. I laid on my couch last night after we got done watching Yellowstone and I watched some of my old sit downs from last year with Tom and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and some of these guys. And I just said to my husband, oh, I'm so sad. I'm not going to be able to be in the same room with them this year. But I also thought to myself, okay, how are we going to do this to make this better? How can we do this? Because people are going to be so starved to see these guys. How can I do this to be A, valuable to Fox, and B, help the NFL product be just as good as it was? So I feel like the long answer to that, if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I wouldn't still be this thirsty and hungry at 42 years old when I kind of thought 20 years ago, I'd be retired. So I don't want to be retired. I still want to work and I still want to do a really good job. And I think I like that I still have the attitude that I did when I was 24 and I started, that I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do a good job so I'm not fired and people know how much I care. I still am at that. I say girl, because I still feel like a girl, you know, a young girl instead of a grown up woman, that I want to do that. So I'm excited about that. And I'm thankful for that.
I think I don't think a lot of people truly understand the amount of work that you do off the field or before the interview. What do you think really are the keys to your success as your career?
Well, I definitely would say preparation and the love for the game. I don't think that, you know, a lot of women ask me, what does it take? You know, I want to do this. And it goes back to my college professor the first day in class. He just said, look, if you don't want to be divorced by the time you're 25, don't do this job. If you don't want to make 20 grand a year, don't do this job. I missed a lot in my 20s and 30s to get where I am, but it's because I love the game so much and I want to get better, you know, covering it and being valuable. So I think there's a, you know, a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of things I missed, but yeah, there's a lot of preparation. And I don't think people realize that. And I think there's more so for me because I'm not a Troy Aikman. You know, I can't say, well, when I played, you know, this is the protection that I liked, or this was the defense that was difficult for me. So I really want to prove myself. I think another thing that doesn't get a lot of credit in my career is the wonderful people I've worked with. You know, there's that something to be said for when you go into a sit down with an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Sean Payton or a Sean McVay, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are showing the coaches and the athletes, this girl's great. This girl's cool. You can say whatever you want to say in front of her. And that means a lot to me that all the men that I've been able to work with throughout my career at ESPN and at Fox, they've done that. And that really allows athletes and coaches and organizations to trust me.
So you were recently the first woman to be awarded the Pat Summerall Award. When you learned that you were receiving that, how did you feel?
Well, I mean, God, a crying pants over here. I actually learned about that when my dad was in the hospital. So, I mean, I wasn't worried about anything in my life except for, like, is my dad getting the right care? Like, I need 50 doctors' opinions right now. I used all my connections, you know, within sports to make sure that my dad was being seen by the best. And I got this text and they just said, you know, they're trying to get in touch with you and you're not answering. And I'm like, well, this is why. So I heard about it and I remember my dad was sleeping and I was going through emails trying to catch up, but not like really reading or understanding anything else besides his health. So I knew about it there. And then, you know, we got my dad out and then the world shut down with this global pandemic and I just forgot about it. And then, that's nothing against the award. I was so thankful and excited, but my dad and his health, and then obviously Corona, and, you know, knowing he was high risk was such a big thing for me. So then, you know, we're a couple months into quarantine and everybody's doing their thing. And I got the information back on it. And I guess it was made public like a couple weeks ago or something. And I said to my dad, oh my God, I forgot to tell you this. Like, I found out about this in the hospital. And like, obviously you were like on my mind and it was very sweet. Like the head of Fox texted me and a couple football coaches and a lot of announcers. And that was just really, really cool and nice. And my dad, he was just apologizing. He's like, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. And I was like, Daddy, like, there was no way for you to know. And then my whole family was excited. And my dad texted me the night after I told him, and he just said, I'm so proud of you and I love you. And he goes, I can't wait to be there with you when you get this award, because it's going to be in Tampa. And I just said, you better be there. And he's like, you know, I will be. So that kind of just added an extra layer for it. So that was special. I hope we're able to do it. You know, it's Tampa and all that. And, but more importantly, I just hope my dad's there.
Yeah.
What was the significance?
Guys, who knew this was going to turn into an Oprah cry session? I mean,
also, you got me tearing up over here. I'm like trying to.
I'm this emotional. I mean, this usually happens at 7 o'clock at night when I'm on Zoom with my girlfriends. I mean, dear Lord, get it together.
No, I so understand. And yeah.
And Shelly, you lost your dad recently, and we all are incredibly close to our fathers. I think it's one of the. It's one of the symmetries in this industry. I think a lot of women who are in this business have very strong relationships with their dads.
Yeah.
And this is so hard because all of us are away from our families, and all of us, like, you know, we're just not, we don't have that connection. And I think, Jen, that's such a good point, especially girls and their dads, you know, it's like, we're a month away from the NFL starting. There's all this drama happening with college. Like, it's, this is the time I'm like, usually, like, you know, you're so connected with my dad, you know, Packers camp is starting up, and, you know, the Lightning, freaking A, they got the second seed, they're playing Columbus, Dad. Like, you know, it's just hard. This is a hard time.
Switching over a little bit to philanthropy, Erin.
Yeah, something lighter. I mean, dear God.
What's the earliest memory that you had from helping others?
I mean, oh gosh, I don't even know. I think, once you get maybe put in a certain place in your career, maybe when I was in college game day and you start meeting Make-A-Wish fans, I mean, my God, Packers practices are some of the most special times. They always bring these Make-A-Wish kids, and you see like Erin walk over, or Jordy would walk over, or Randall, and you just sit there, and just what I did with you guys, just go, oh my God, this is amazing. You just want to help. And I think there were just different times, you know, I know it was early in my career, because you could just see, like, you got put in this position or in this place, and you do have the ability, even though you think it's nothing, to walk over during college game day or to give a college game day experience. And I'm referencing those because that was kind of one of the biggest stages I've been on early in my career. So I feel like it was pretty much when I got put with college game day, you realize, you know, like, either sick families or kids that had a wish to just be around us. That was kind of when I was like, we have the power, even with a hello or, hey, come sit up or on set or hold my microphone for a picture, that could just make a difference in somebody's life. And even more so if you're dealing with a kid, the parents, you know, because just for the parents to get a little bit of relief and see their kid smile, that's like super special as well.
We have a list here of some of the things you've been involved in. It says Kraft Food Huddle to fight hunger, StubHub to launch a national campaign where a portion of ticket sales went to Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, as well as Women's Philanthropy Fund with United Way. How do you choose the charities that you want to be associated with?
I think it's almost as psycho as it sounds, like choosing your endorsements. I mean, it has to be organic. It has to be a good fit. You don't want to make it feel like it's work. I did some work for cervical cancer as well, prostate cancer, because my dad was a survivor of that. You know, I want to get involved with heart research because of my dad's latest issues and so forth. And stalking, I know I've tried to give some power and a voice to that as well. So yeah, I just feel like the key to that is what is speaking to you, what you're connected with.
I agree. I think if you're comfortable talking about it, with cervical cancer, what do you recall from that day that you were diagnosed?
Well, that I was prepping for the Giants-Eagles game, and it was a Saturday, and I was in my conference room with a bunch of men, and I had to step out and call he was my boyfriend at the time, but my soon-to-be husband, who was taking a pregame nap for a team he was trying out for, and tell him and my mom and dad that, you know, that this was happening. And I don't think any of us really, really even realized how bad it was. because I did a surgery a couple of weeks after, and I did it on a day that I didn't have Dancing with the Stars. So I did it on a Tuesday so I could make the Sunday Packers game where they were going to put Brett Favre's name in the Ring of Honor, because it was Dallas, Green Bay, you know, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott had just come on the scene. They were freaking ripping the league up. Brett's name's going up. I had plans to bring my dad. Brett's my dad's favorite. I grew up loving Brett. So I did the surgery Tuesday. I got the call Thursday, as I was told, I wasn't allowed to sit up or go anywhere, but I was going to take a red eye because I had a sit down interview with, I think Jordy actually, or maybe it was Randall, but I think it was Jordy. And getting a Green Bay is not easy unless you're on a charter. And I wasn't on a charter. And I had a red eye and a layover in Chicago. And got to be honest, I was pretty not feeling great after surgery. And yeah, I got the call on that Thursday. I was laying on the couch with my husband that the surgery didn't go well and the cancer went past the margins. And that my doctor at the time had recommended a hysterectomy. And I remember screaming on my couch. I wasn't even engaged yet. We weren't even talking about kids. I wanted to get to Green Bay to do my interview, to, you know, see Brett's name go up next to Reggie's. And I just remember my husband getting on the phone with the doctor, and this was really amazing. And he kind of went into his athlete self and he said, listen, we're going to get a second opinion because I wouldn't go through a major, you know, career threatening surgery without a second opinion. And the doctor didn't advise it. And I just, my husband, well, boyfriend was like, you know what, we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out, babe. And I knew at that time, the best thing for me, even though I didn't feel good, to get on that plane. I needed to get to Green Bay. I needed to be with Troy and Joe, even though they had no idea what was happening. I needed to go get to Lambeau, just be there, feel better. Maybe that was even like, you know, that happened for a reason. Of all places, it's like Lambeau for me to feel better. My dad ended up coming. My husband surprised me. He came too because he's like, there's no way she's going to be there without me. I did the game. We have amazing pictures from that game. My dad didn't get to meet Brett, though. He was in the press box with Joe and Troy, but he chickened out a little bit, and that's okay. But and then the next Monday, we flew back, and I met my oncologist that did my second surgery, and he saved me, and I love him so very much. And he doesn't know anything about sports. And before he rolled me in for my second surgery, I just looked at him because I knew that was it. And like, if they didn't get it, I was going to have a hysterectomy. And I just said, look, this is fourth down, fourth quarter. You're Tom Brady. I need you to freaking like win this game. And like, I'll be honest, LFG, let's freaking go. And he was like, I don't know anything about football, but I will try. And he did it. He was my Tom Brady for the day. So that's the big things that I remember. And it's crazy how much like sports is weaved into my life because that's what I love. That's what I care about. It also helped, you know, a lot of people ask all the time, why do you work when your doctor said don't, when you had cancer and you're coming back from surgeries? Because that was what helped me feel normal. And if I would lay at home on a heating pad, on a towel, I would feel so miserable and I probably wouldn't have gotten better.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I've been called stubborn. I've been called like a moron. It was cool about my oncologist though, because he got it. Like I just, after my second surgery, I remember we had to go to New York and I was doing another New York game and I was like, oh man, I'm going to get the call here in New York. Another thing about bad news. And, he didn't call, which, you know, I lost a lot of sleep that weekend, but tried to enjoy it. But he was awesome. He seems to get it. He's like, nah, you got to go work. You got to do you. Feel free. He's like, if you don't feel good, sit down, but you'll be fine.
It's so true. And I think everybody has something different when they get in a situation that is hard for them and what that means and how you react. Everybody's different, but, you know, I think a lot of us with more of the type A are like, nope, we're going to do it. We're going to continue moving. It's not going to stop us. We're going to, and that fighter aspect is what keeps us going.
Well, and it's a huge reason, guys, that we're successful in this space, right? Because you continue to fight through adversity. Every time something threatens to knock you off the path, you just get right back up. So why would it be any different when you have personal challenges, you know?
Totally.
Tune in next week to hear more from Erin Andrews. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Athletes Doing Good. Go to CaptureSportsMarketing.com to listen to other interviews to hear stories about the person behind the player and the people behind the team who are making an impact on others.
To join Athletes in Doing Good, text ADG 2020 to 76278 and donate today. The Athletes podcast with the most downloads each month will receive the money raised for his or her charity.